Are picking up at the Mishnah of Chav Zayin. So after telling us about some of the psulim in the Gufa Shofar, Shofar Shenistak, Dibek Shivrei Shofros, so the Mishnah tells us, Hatoke Lusocha Bor, Lusocha Dus, or Lusocha Pitus, Imkol Shofar Shama Yatza, Yimkol Havara Shama Lo Yatza. V'chein, mi shaya over achorei beis hakneses, o shaya beis o samuch le beis hakneses, v'shama kol shofar o kol megillah, im kivein libo yatza, v'milav lo yatza. Af al pish zeh shama v'zeh shama, even though two people both heard the same thing, zeh kivein libo v'zeh lo kivein libo. Okay. First, let's talk about Tukei L'Sol Chabor, then we'll talk about Achorei Beis HaKnesses, and thirdly, we'll talk about the relationship between the two. So first, Tukei L'Sol Chabor. So the Mishnah here is clarifying for us that there's a requirement to hear a pure, undiluted sound of the shofar. The shofar, the Kol Havara, the Chafetz Chaim in his Bir Halacha, spends a lot of time trying to prove that Kol Havara doesn't just mean that you hear the echo of the shofar. It means, according to him, that you hear some type of diluted shofar sound that has shofar elements in it, has echo elements in it as well, but it's not that you're hearing two different sounds. Now, the Gemara in the first Amud, on Amud Aleph, thought that it meant you're actually hearing two different things. That's why I brought it up in the discussion of Trei Kali. But Kol Havara, he says, doesn't mean just an echo sound, which is not the shofar sound at all, but you're hearing the shofar sound, but it's being diluted or mixed with some type of reverberation sound of some sort. It's a diluted sound. The Taz actually writes in his Perish on Shulchan Aruch that if you're in shul and you're standing, it's, let's say, the acoustics are not great, and you're standing in some corner of the shul where you're not hearing a pure sound of the shofar. Specifically, it's very nogeya for the women's section, that sometimes in the women's section, if you're not able to hear the pure sound because you're in a balcony and you're in the corner of the balcony and the sound is bouncing off of walls and you don't hear the pure shofar sound, so the Taz says that you're not yotze. So Dr. Zitter wants to know how you're supposed to figure that out, of what sound you're hearing. Who said that, sir? Right. Oh, so the Rishonim, so that's interesting. The Beis Yosef says that you do know what it is. Because the Beis Yosef writes, because the Rosh says, how's a person supposed to know the difference between a Kol Tzolul, that's the Lashon he uses, which is the Kol Shofar, and the Kol Havara? That's the Rosh says. So you've got the Rosh on your side. But the Beis Yosef says, come on, what do you mean? A person is able to tell if the sound he's hearing is the pure sound or if it's a diluted sound. So it could be that this discussion we're having right now is Rush Beis Yosef having that discussion, but we'll leave it on the side for right now, how you're able to tell exactly what it is. Now, what's interesting, the Ran...
Even if they're good acoustics, if we're not hearing the echo also, like, let's say in a big shul... Like,
if you're in a very, very big shul, you might... Right, so we'll see. We're going to get to it soon. Now, the Ran brings up from Rav Haigon an issue which I think is addressing a question of... Some of the Achronim ask, what's this Mishnah doing here? I mean, we know that the Gemara sometimes brings up funny cases when it has like a nafkamina between things, so it ends up, it gets stuck. The Gemara says, okay, hachomai askinon, and then it tells you some like far out case in order to explain what's going on. But he asks, why is the Mishnah teaching me a din of somebody who's sticking his head into they're in a pit, they're in a cave, why are they blowing the shofar in a cave? Why is he sticking his head into a pit? So the Ran quotes from Rav Haigon, that dvarim halalu hayu tzrichan lami mehashmad b'malchi yoshayim misyarim mehem limilatko b'galwe. He says that the Mishnah is not a far out case because in times of shmad, the shofar sound, as much as we associate it with the mitzvah of shofar, but if you read through Tanakh, so you see that the shofar sound is very much associated with war. Especially, ha'am lo yacharadu, if they hear the kol ha-shofar, they're not going to be, that pasuk's regarding the lion, right? But that we have the psukim that relate that the sound of the shofar is supposed to be a scary sound. That's supposed to be the sound of war. So if you're in a foreign country, you start blowing the war trumpets. So there could be a concern that your hosts are going to start to be concerned about why you're blowing the shofar. So the Ran says that they used to blow often in hidden or secret places, and that's why these halachos were very nogeya if you're blowing in a cave somewhere. Another interesting question that arises is this a specific shofar halacha, or is this regarding all situations where you need to hear a sound? Like, for instance, shomea ka'one. So let's say you're hearing Kiddush in the cave, and you don't hear the pure voice of the shofar, of the Kiddush maker, the Makadish. You don't hear the sound of his voice purely. So are you Yotze, or do we have the same concern of Kol HaMakadish versus Kol Havara? Or is this specifically a shofar issue? Like, for instance, I'll give you an example. The Levush, in his commentary in Shulchan Aruch on this halacha, tries to say that, oh, the reason why Kol Havara is a problem is because the Pasuk says V'Havarta, so you need to have a pure sounding shofar sound. Now, I don't know where he got that from, Vavarta. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Gemara. We spoke about it in morning study. Vavarta really means to carry the sound of the shofar. The Gemara starts to use it for Derech Havaraso, like Derech Gedilaso. They start borrowing it for all different purposes. The Levush uses it for this, that you need a Kol Tzolol because it says Vavarta. So I don't know where the Levush gets that from. But why am I quoting it? To show you that the Levush is learning that this is a shofar din. This is a shofar issue. This is not a Kol HaTorah Kula issue. There are those who are medayik from the Mishnah, because what does the Mishnah do in the Seifa? The Mishnah says the case of someone who's over Achori Beis HaKnesses, Vishama Kol Shofar, O Kol Megillah. So the Mishnah itself tells you regarding the last case in the Mishnah that this is not a shofar specific halacha. It applies to Megillah as well. It didn't do that in the first case in the Mishnah. So there are those who want to be medayik that from the fact that the seif was said O Kol Megillah, perhaps it was hinting to you that the case of Achorei Beis HaKnesses, that's in Kol HaTorah Kula. It's not just by shofar. It's by other places as well. But the case before is only the case of a shofar, so maybe it's only by shofar, like the Levush wants to suggest, and it's not in other areas. Although, in light of what we saw in the Ran, that the shofar case in the cave is very specific because the shofar is something that's going to raise suspicion if you start blowing the shofar, and therefore they had to often do it. It could be the reason why the case of Tokei L'Soch HaBor is only regarding a shofar and not also Megillah, is because they didn't need to read a Megillah in a cave. They were able to read the Megillah in shul. That wasn't a concern. The concern was to start blowing shofar in shul. So, by the way, you should know there are those who even suggest that that's one of the reasons why it was in Musaf and not in Shachris, because the local guards from the municipality would come to shul to wait to see if they're going to blow shofar. And when they finally davened and laned and they hadn't blown shofar yet, so he left and he went home. And then they were able to blow the shofar in Musaf when no one was listening. But it could be that that point about how much this Mishnah is based on the concern of Shmad might impact how much we can redact. Lemaisa, it is a machlokas amongst the achronim. It's a big discussion if you don't hear the sound, the straight up sound. You know, in the whole sugya regarding microphones, many of the poskim, once they clarified, because this was a little bit of a confusion in the early tshuvas regarding microphones, once they clarified the science of what's exactly going on with a microphone, so most poskim, you know, some of the early poskim, they actually even write in their tshuvas, I don't know exactly how the microphone works, but if it's just amplifying your voice, then what's the problem with that? Once the poskim clarified that the way a microphone works, I'm talking about tshuvas, you know, from 60, 70 years ago. Once they clarified that the sound that you hear with a microphone is not actually your voice, but it is I don't know exactly what the right terms are going to be, but it's sound waves that are recreated. It's an electronic recreation of your voice, and it's not actually your voice. Now, when you use like a foghorn, a blowhorn of some sort, a megaphone, I don't mean an electric megaphone. I'm talking about like one of those, funnels, and you scream into one side. That's your voice just being amplified, but it's your voice still. A microphone breaks down your voice, or a telephone. It breaks your voice down into electrical impulses, and then it recreates your voice. So almost all of the poskim say that you're not yotze with a microphone if you're only hearing the recreated voice. That's not the voice. So when you're at a wedding and they use a microphone, okay, what's the big deal? The people out in the crowd don't have to hear the bracha. The person who needs to hear the bracha is the person who's being yotze with the bracha, the chosin.
Did you say it's an amini soma?
And the chosin, what was that? So there's a machlokas haposkim about whether the bracha is really the chassan's and the Masadah Kedushin is making it for him and being motzi him in it, or whether, you know, this is partly tali on whether it's a birchas hamitzvah, whether it's a birchas hashevach. If it's a birchas hamitzvah, it's the chassan's mitzvah, so it's his bracha, and the Masadah Kedushin is making it for him. If it's a birchas hashevach, it's a machlokas about Erisin in general, about whether that stage is a mitzvah or not. But, for instance, when I was Masadah Kedushin, so I said to the chassan, I'm going to make the bracha, Gabi's brother, I'm going to make the bracha. What? I said your brother.
I know.
Okay. I'm going to make the bracha in the microphone, but you should listen to my voice. Don't listen to the microphone. Listen to my voice. And that's what we generally assume, that the people standing at the chuppah are not hearing the what's the thing called? The amp, the speaker. They're hearing the voice of the Mekadesh. But this is going to touch on that problem. If you start to hear a mixture of the voice and the speaker, so now we're getting into the range, into the realm of Kol Havara. And it's going to go to our question now of, is this chiluk between pure sound versus diluted sound only a shofar issue? Or is it a kol ha-Torah kula issue? Okay, that's regarding this sugya, this discussion of tokei luso chabur. The Mishnah then goes on and talks about achorei beis ha-kineses. And it says, im kivein libo yatsa, im lo kivein lo yatsa. So what's the kavana, first of all? So this, the Gemara is going to tell us. We already heard shir on this from Rabbi Kamen a little bit. But the discussion about mitzvos trichos kavana or not. If you hold that mitzvos do not require kavana, so then what's the Mishnah mean when it says you have to have kavana? So the Gemara clarifies. It means you have to have kavana that you're hearing a shofar. There's a certain baseline kavana that you have to realize that is not the braying of a donkey, but it is the sound of a shofar, right? When you're sitting there and you go like, oh, listen to that sound. I wonder what that is. Is that a donkey? So then you're not, that's not okay. You have to have a certain baseline kavana that you realize that you're hearing a shofar. If you hold mitzvos ein srichos kavana, then that's all you need. And that's what the Mishnah means when it says im kivein libo. It means you're mechaving that you're hearing the sound of a shofar. But if you hold mitzvos srichos kavana, so besides that basic recognition of what's going on, to realize that this is a shofar sound, you also have to have kavana that you want to be yotze the mitzvah of shofar. And if you hold mitzvah srichos kavana, so then you're going to learn that that's what it means, im kivein libo. It means you have kavana to be yotze the mitzvah. You have to really be mechavin to be yotze the mitzvah. Question?
Yeah, is it assumed that the kavana is on the part of the person listening and not the person?
Excellent. The one blowing the shofar. Excellent. The Rambam in his Perush Mishnayos on this Mishnah points out that the reason why we don't discuss, and here in the Mishnah we're talking about the person listening. What about the mashmiya? So the Gemara is going to clarify that whenever you have a shliach tzibor being mashmiya sound, we assume that he has kavana for all the people who are listening, whoever's listening. And that's something you should have in mind. The Rambam writes in his Perush Mishnayos here that the reason why the Mishnah doesn't address it is because it's obvious. Now, it's not absolutely obvious because the Gemara feels the need to clarify it. But the Rambam thinks it's obvious and therefore not in the Mishnah. It's something that you should keep in mind. You have to realize that whenever you're a shliach tzibor, the people in the tzibor are assuming that you're having them in mind when you're, for instance, for Kedusha. Someone's still davening Shmoneh Esrei and they're quiet and they hear you. That's because they're assuming that you have that you're having them in mind. Now, some shuls, they write into the sitter, please be mechavein for everybody in the crowd. But that's something, and that's going against the issue that Rabbi Kamet brought up, that at what point does the context already dictate that you're obviously having kavana? Meaning, if we're in shul and we're taking out a horn and we're blowing it, can't we just assume that you're doing it for the mitzvah of shofar? I mean, why else are you blowing a shofar in the middle of davening? So at some point, the context will be enough to indicate that there's kavana going on here. Yeah.
Seems to me the answer to this question is really what's the mitzvah shofar lishmoa or
lishmoa? Ah, so we're going to discuss that as well. But even if it's lishmoa, we're going to see that if what Dr. Zitter is pointing out is if the mitzvah is to blow the shofar, so then lechora, the person blowing it has to have in mind that he's blowing on behalf of everybody because that's the mitzvah and everyone's being yotzei with him. But even if the mitzvah is the shmiya, we're going to see, because anyone who holds that it's the shmiya is going to have to deal with the Gemara that says that you have to have kavana, the mashmiya has to have kavana for the shomim, we're going to see that you're going to still need a kavana of the mashmiya even if there's a mitzvah of shmiya. We'll probably talk about that either tomorrow or the day after. Okay.
That's because there's no maisha, right? There's no maisha in the...
That's at the Rambam about the Ein Bekol Din Gadol, right, exactly. We're going to have to get to that. Very good. Okay. What's the relationship between these two cases? Why am I asking what's the relationship between these two cases? The Tosas Yontif is sensitive to the Lashon here. What does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, what's the word here that gets the Mishnah in trouble?
V'chein.
The Mishnah has the case of Tokei Luso Chabur, and then it says, V'chein, and so too. Mishaya over Achori Beis HaKnesses. The implication being that there is some common ground between the two cases. And at first glance, there isn't. The first case in the Mishnah, for our discussion, Tokei L'Sol Chabur, seems to be a Metzias issue. What are you hearing? Is it a pure sound or is it not a pure sound? It's just Metzias. It's going to be dependent on where you're standing, what are the acoustics like, how deep is the pit, how close to the edge of the pit are you standing? It's Metzias. What are you hearing? But the second case, Achorei Beis HaKnesses, that's not talking about Metzias. That's talking about what are you being mechavein for? Are you having in mind to be Yotze? You're not having in mind to be Yotze. Having mechavein that it's a kol shofar, not a kol chamor. So seemingly one is dependent on the person's kavana, one's dependent on the Metzias. So therefore, what's the vechein? This is the question that the Tosfos Yontif is addressing. And the Tosfos Yontif ends up saying that the connection between the two cases is really not so fundamental. It's much more of a technical connection. We have two cases here where the Shomei and the Mashmiya are not standing in the same place. It's a very weak, loose connection. Both in the case of the Tokei L'Soch Bor, you've got a guy standing outside the pit. You've got somebody standing in, and the Mashmiya is outside the pit. The Shomeya seemingly is inside the pit. So they're standing in different locations. And so too in the Beis Knesses case. The Tokeya is in the Beis HaKnesses. The Shomeya is outside the Beis Knesses. So that's the weak link between the two cases, that the Mashmiya and the Shomeya are in different locations. The question is, are we able to find a more fundamental connection between the two? For instance, the Aruch Lener suggests that in both cases, the tekiya is a great tekiya. There's nothing wrong with the tekiya. The tekiya is a kosher tekiya. And the problem is all based on the Shomeya. In one case, he's in a pit, and therefore he's hearing all these reverberations of the sound. It's a perfectly great sound. The tokeya did a great job. He blew a perfect shofar sound. It's just that the Shomeya's got a problem. And the same thing, Achori Beis HaKnesses. Everything's fine. Everyone in shul doesn't have a problem. It's because some guy is sitting on his couch and he lives next door to the shul. He doesn't want to get out of bed, so he's listening from his house. So he's got the problem if he's having kavanah or not. But the tekiyas are good in both cases. That's what the Aruch Lener suggests. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see this until now. The Masoret Shas I have by Vechein. Mm-hmm. He says, Atosis Yontif Logaris Milas Vechein. I don't know if you have that. It's like weird because the whole
point of it.
This whole Atosis Yontif was predicated on the Vechein.
Right, okay. I'm not sure. We'll have to take a look at the edit inside. Okay. The Gemara addresses this case of Tokei L'Toch Bor. Amar Rav Huna, or in the Russian's Girsha, Rav Yehuda. Lo Shanu El L'Osen Ha'omdim Al Svat HaBor. Now, Lo Shanu, generally, traditionally, means that the halacha that was stated is, we're limiting it to a specific case. Lo Shanu El L'Osen Ha'omdim Al Svat HaBor. You thought the case maybe was talking about the people in the pit? It's not talking about the people in the pit. It's talking about the people who are standing al svas habor, like the tokeya, seemingly. Osen ha'omdim al svas habor, aval osen ha'omdim bibor, are yotze. Anyone who's in the pit is yotze, when the shofar is blown into the pit. And Rashi says, because if you're in the pit, and the shofar is blown into the pit, you're hearing the sound of the shofar. Which is interesting. I would have thought that it bounces off the walls, you start to hear the echoes. Rashi says, no, if you're in the pit, you hear the shofar. The question is the people outside the pit. Because the sound, when it comes out of the pit, is no longer the pure sound of the shofar, but it's got all these mixed echo sounds in the shofar sound as well. It's no longer the cold solo of the shofar. That's how Rashi learns. That's the pashtus of Rav Huna. And what it means is that we're just making this presumption that the metzias is that when you're in the pit, you hear the shofar, everything's fine. When you're on the perimeter, thank you, of the pit. When you're outside the pit, I'll just say al svas habor. We know what I'm talking about. When you're al svas habor, so that's when the Mishnah introduces this idea of you need to figure out what you're hearing. Are you hearing the pure sound or are you not hearing the pure sound? So that's how Rashi learns the Gemara, that there's no discussion in the pit, the discussion's only outside the pit. And that means that Rav Huna was coming and limiting the case of the Mishnah. However, the Rush takes Rashi to task for this explanation of the Mishnah. Says the Rush, Lo yadati ma havchana yesh im kol shofar shama o kol havara shama. I don't understand how you're supposed to determine what sound you heard. Is it tali b'havchanas adam that he just says, oh, I heard the shofar? It's just dependent on what you think you heard? Maybe, says the Rush, it's tali on the omek habor. Maybe it's telling how deep the pit is, because the deeper the pit, the less pure sound you're going to hear when it exits the pit. Or maybe it's telling on how close you are to the pit. If you're really close to the pit, you might hear a purer sound. If you're farther away, you might hear less pure of a sound. And then the Rush says, "Lo mistaber she'atali ba'avchanas ha'adam." I don't think that the Mishnah would write a din that's dependent on each specific person, what he hears. He says, because nishtana tzkiyas habor pa'amim, sometimes you can hear the shofar, sometimes you can hear the havara, and if it's tali on the depth of the pit and your closeness to the pit, then we should have shiurim for these things. The Mishnah should get into details and tell me, how deep is the pit, how shallow is the pit, how close are you to the pit? The Rush thinks that there's just way too many variables that the Mishnah is leaving undefined for us. And therefore, the Rush has a different explanation, and the Rush says that even though Lo Shanu doesn't generally mean this, he suggests a very mechudish reading of the Gemara. Rav Huna, or Rav Yehuda, was not limiting the case of the Mishnah. He was purely explaining the Mishnah. And when the Mishnah said, Im kol shofar shama, that means, and Rav Huna was explaining that, that if you're in the pit, so then you heard the kol shofar in your yatsa. And if you're outside the pit, then you heard the kol havara. Meaning, according to the Rush, it's all dependent on where you are. If you're in the pit, you're yotze. If you're outside the pit, you're not yotze. See, for Rashi, if you're in the pit, you're yotze. The Rush agrees to that. If you're outside the pit, we now have the din of the Mishnah. What did you hear? Shofar or havara? For the Rush, Rav Huna was just explaining the Mishnah. The Mishnah gave two options. That's because there are two possible locations. When the Mishnah said you hear the shofar, it's because you're in the pit. And when the Mishnah said you hear the if you hear the kol havara, it doesn't mean if you're able to deter. It means that if you're outside the pit, you always hear the kol havara. And for the Rush, nothing is tali on you. And nothing's tali on the circumstances in terms of how deep the pit is. There's just one halacha, and Rav Huna was just restating the halacha in the Mishnah in his own terms. That the Mishnah was really hinting to locations.
What's Lo Shanu El?
And therefore Rav Huna was being mefarish. And Lo Shanu, which normally is a limitation, and he says that himself. The Rush says, Alkei nearly afagav that he says Lo Shanu, ain ba ki im lefarish, v'haki perusho. Lo Shanu im kol. And you'll see that the Rush spells it out, that that's what he thinks is going on here in the Mishnah. So, both according to Rashi and the Rush, the question here is about Metzias. It's just that for the Rush, he doesn't want the Metzias to be an open question. And therefore, he clarifies for you that there's different Metzias, whether you're in the pit or outside the pit. For Rashi, the Metzias when you're outside the pit is not clear, and you yourself are going to have to determine what you're hearing. Now, part of the Rush's problem is he doesn't like leaving this up to an individual, but the Beis Yosef responds that no, a person's able to figure this out. The Rashash, though, has, I think, a third understanding of the Sugya, which takes the whole discussion into a whole other realm. The Rashash also agrees with Rashi that the Pashtus of the Gemara is that the Mishnah was talking about when you're outside the pit, and that you have to determine whether you're hearing the shofar or the diluted sound. But the Rashash thinks that it's not dependent on the Metzias of what are you hearing, and this would answer your question, Dr. Zitter, but it actually is dependent on your Kavana. If you can be mechavein to just hear the pure sound, then you're yotze. But if you're not able to, and you hear also the diluted sound, so then you're not yotze. According to the Rashash, what this does nicely for us is it allows us to give another explanation of what's the relationship between the first case in the Mishnah and the second case in the Mishnah. According to the Rashash, both the first case and the second case are all tully on your kavana. The first case tells me, if you're standing outside the pit, if you're mechavein for the sound of the shofar, you're yotze. Right? Unlike Rashi. Rashi said, what did you hear? Not what were you mechavein to. For the Rashash, it's if you were mechavein that you to just focus on the sound of the shofar, you're yotze. But if you weren't mechavein, and therefore you also heard the diluted sound, you're not yotze. And then comes the Mishnah and says, V'chein, if you're walking outside of a Beis Knesses, and you're a Mechavein. See, for the Rashash, the Mishnah is very beautiful. And in fact, the Rashash has a really wild suggestion. He suggests that the very last line of the Mishnah, Afa pisha zeshama, v'zeshama, zekiven libo, v'zelokiven libo, is going back on both cases, not just on the last case. That final line of the Mishnah that says, two people. One was mechavin and therefore yotze, and one was not mechavin and wasn't yotze. We thought that was only going on the case of the Beis Knesses. No, it's also going on the case of the boor. That if you're mechavin, you're yotze. If you're not mechavin, you're not yotze. So it's yotze from this, that just in pshat in the Mishnah, we have three different explanations, the Rosh, Rashi, and the Rashash. And the Rashash actually adds something else that's a nice, would be a nice symmetry going on here in the cases. The Rashash says, what's the case in the shul? What about the people in the shul? The people in the shul are always yotze. Why? Because we assume that they're having kavana, because that's why they're in shul. And if they're outside of the Beis Knesses, then we have a question. Were they mechavin or not? So he says that we find that same reality by the case in the boor. If you're in the boor, where the shofar is being blown in the boor, so mistama, you have kavana and you're yotze. And it's only for the people who are outside that there becomes this question. So you have that congruity between the cases as well, that there's an area where everyone's automatically yotze because we assume they're being mechavin. And then you have an area that's a question, and it's going to be dependent on whether you're mechavin or not. So the Rashash might be coming to explain Rashi, but I think it's different. What he's suggesting is different than what Rashi is really saying. A pure reading of Rashi is that it's a metzias issue, because Rashi says, if you're outside, if you're in the pit, you heard, and implying that if you're outside the pit, I don't think it's... I mean, he might think he's explaining as Rashi, but...
The only way Rashi still points is that if you're outside the board, you may have heard, you may have not heard. The only way to know it is if you had the kavana to know that...
Well, the Rush didn't read Rashi that way. The Rush thought Rashi was saying... The Metzias is sometimes you hear and sometimes you don't, and that's why the Rush doesn't like Rashi. Because he says, well, wait a second, doesn't it matter how deep the pit is? If it's all about Kavana, like, what does it make a difference how deep the pit is? So the Rush didn't learn Rashi the way the Rashash did. Okay. And what, you have a question?
When we say Hadokel Sokabor, what does that mean? I thought it meant, that's what I thought.
You so want to say maybe it means he's in the pit. It could be that he's in the pit.
Meaning then why would that be an automatic kavana for the people inside of the pit?
Well, because you're sticking the shofar in to blow for them.
Yeah, but like...
You know, it's like you come in the room and you go, okay guys, here, I'm blowing shofar for you. You're sticking your head into their pit, you know, or into their cave, seemingly to, in order to blow shofar for them, right?
I guess.
Okay.
According to the base, you'll see, me and the other person standing right next to you.
Right, what if one person thinks he's hearing, it's a metzias issue, right? It's a good hara, I agree. Okay, let's go on with the Gemara. So the Gemara now has a case, Amar Rabba, Shama miksas tekiya bibor, umiksas tekiya al svasa bor, yatsa. So first of all, this sounds a little bit like the Rush, this line already, right? Let's say you hear part of the shofar in the pit and part al svasa pit. So what's the Gemara assuming? That in the pit you were yotze and al svasa pit you weren't yotze. And the question is, what's the din? And the din is, you're yotze because at least you heard the part in the pit. That part was yotze, right? We're talking about hearing miksas bekashrus and miksas bepsul. Which is the miksas bepsul when you're on the svasa pit? Now, wait a second. I thought svasa pit is totally on what your kavana is. Not for the Rush. So this sounds a little bit like the Rush. That once you're on svasa pit, you're not yotze.
What did Rashash say?
Right, you're right. It's a kasha. I think the Rashash even says that there are a few lines in the Gemara. I assume he's referring to this. He says there are a few lines in the Gemara that sound like the Rush. Okay, but that's what the Gemara says. If you hear part of it in the pit and part outside, you're yotze. Because you heard miksas. Miksas is good. Then the Gemara says... Rabba says, Miksas kodem shialam ad ha-shachar, u-miksas da'achar shialam ad ha-shachar, you're not yotze. What's the difference? In both cases, you heard a miksas kosher, miksas not kosher.
The first one was not.
What was that?
The beginning was not a kosher blowing. So
what do you mean with the case of omar ha-shachar?
Yeah.
Right, good. So the Gemara says and makes a chiluk between something that is intrinsically a good tekiah shofar, like with the pit case. There's nothing wrong with the tekiah. It's just that because you changed locations, so part of it ended up becoming psul. There's a psul on it. But it itself is a kosher sound, as opposed to kodem shialom and ashachar. So just there's one or two things I'd like to talk about for the remainder of today, which are just very important shas topics that come up, or things that you should just know, very important ideals. So first of all, this whole idea here of amad ashachar. Why is amad ashachar? Why is that the cutoff point? The Mishnah tells us, well, let's start with shofar. Shofar is a mitzvah, a day mitzvah. We have certain mitzvahs that are day mitzvahs, certain mitzvahs that are night mitzvahs, some mitzvahs that transcend time and can be day and night. So the mitzvah of shofar is a day mitzvah because the pasuk says yom truah. Now we all realize that yom truah doesn't mean day. It means that the holiday is a time of Truah, but Gemara Darshan's that Yom is telling me that's the Zman of the Mitzvah. Shofar needs to be blown during the day. Okay, so how do we define a day in Halacha? So we have, when does the day start in Halacha? So we have two options, basically. Alos HaShachar. Now it's true that we actually have more options than this, but let's say, simply we would say Alos HaShachar when the day starts, then Netzachama, either let's say Alos HaShachar when it starts to get light, or Netzachama when the sun actually comes up, because the sun, obviously before the sun actually breaks the horizon, the light is already starting to be seen. We actually know that there are more Zmanim, because there's Mishiyakir ben Treles Lilavon. We have all different in-between stages. But the Mishnah tells us in Megillah, this is important to know, Daf Chaf, whenever you have a day mitzvah, the mitzvah starts at Netzachama. But that's only B'di'evit. Sorry, that's only L'chadchila. Really, the mitzvah starts when the day starts, which is at Alos. However, because it's hard to determine when exactly Alos is, and we're concerned that people are going to make mistakes, so we push off all mitzvos to really not start until Netzachama, until the sun actually breaks the horizon. But Bidi Eved, every day mitzvah, you're Yotze already after Alos HaShachar. That's why I remember I once had a very early morning flight, and my only option was either to daven after Alos, but before Netz, or to daven much later in the airport. So I remember I was in Eretz Yisrael, I was catching a flight, so I remember I asked the postake, what should I do? Should I daven at the airport, like at 8:30 before my flight, after I check in? Or should I daven at 5 in the morning, after Alos, but before Netz? So I used prophetically with a lowercase p. Prophetically, he told me, no. Wake up early, daven benachas. Go to the airport. You know, the airport is hectic. You never know what's going to happen. Daven, you know, with Yishuv Hadas before. Sure enough, my taxi driver didn't come. He overslept. I hit redial on my phone, but forgot that I had called someone else after the taxi driver. So it kept ringing and ringing. I never got through to the taxi driver. I ran to the Trempiada in Shalavim to try to catch a tramp. Luckily, some guy was works near the airport, happened to stop for me, drove me to the airport. I ran there. I ended up missing my flight, getting onto another plane, but the first time I had any menuchas nefesh to sit down was like at 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning when I was on a flight, a different airline flight to where I was trying to go. So he was right, that I should have davened after Alos menuchas nefesh. So you are yotze everything after Alos HaShachar. So that's why the Gemara here has the critical time as Alos HaShachar. The psukim, by the way, that they learn this from are all about a worker and about when a worker, if you're hired for the day, when does your day start? Does it start at Alos? Does it start at Netz? When does it end? Because you also have to walk to work. So that's a big discussion over there in the Gemara. Okay.
Lila, same thing?
So Lila's also a discussion about when it ends, because there the Gemara says that you should let the workers get home before it's dark. Right? The question, when does the worker need to leave? Does he have to leave at 3 in order to get to work at Alos if he's hired for the day? Or can he start leaving at Alos? So the Gemara there says he can start leaving at Alos. And then there's a discussion about when he has to leave at the end of the day to get back. So it's a discussion about when the day begins and when the day ends, specifically in Afkamina for a poel who's hired to work during the day for all daylight time. Okay, the Gemara here has a Havamina that miksas kol. If you only hear part of the sound, you're going to be yotze, but that's only, as was pointed out by Dr. Respler, that's only going to be if the kol itself, right? If you're hearing a miksas, you're not hearing the full sound of a shofar. So why are you yotze? So the Gemara says, enachanami, if you heard part, kodem al sashachar, that was not a kol shofar. That's a horn sound. A horn being blown at a time that you're not yotze the mitzvah, that's a horn. That's not the sound of a shofar, mitzvah shofar. Only after alos, and it was only miksas. You can't hear piecemeal. You have to hear the whole sound from the beginning to the end. So why was the Gemara at first, right? We realize that the maskana of the Gemara says you're not yotze in either situation. But why was there a havamin in the Gemara that you should be yotze? So Dr. Esper said because the sound itself is a good sound, it's just that you have a problem. So this is a principle, and the Achronim all raise this principle in order to explain, or they invoke this principle in order to explain the Gemara here. There is a principle that a lot of times I think we throw around, and it's important that we know what that principle is. Kol haroi lebila, ein habila ma'keves. What does this mean? So, by a Karban Mincha has actually 6 stages to it. 6 stages. We've spoken in the past about Karbanos, that Karbanos have 4 stages. So, the Karban Mincha has 6 stages. 4 are the Iker stages, and 2 are preparatory stages. The 2 preparatory stages are pouring the flour into the Klishares, It's called yitzika, pouring it into the klishares. And then belila b'shemen, where you pour in the shemen, and you mix the shemen and the flour. Then we get to the ikar avodos. One, the first one, and they correspond to what by regular carbon, like by regular carbon of an animal, like a zevach. So you've got, what are the four stages? We spoke about it the other day. Shchita, kabbalas hadam, holacha, and zrika. And we mentioned that all of those need to be done by the Kohen except for Shchita. Shchita is kasher with a zar. So now, what about by Menachos? So by Menachos, we said, you have those two preparatory stages, the flour into the klishares and adding the oil. And then we have the kmitza, we have the holacha, we have the... I skipped one. There's the kmitza. Then from the kmitza, you put it into another kli. Then you're molich it, and then you're maktir it. You throw it onto the fire, and it gets burned or consumed by the fire. So those are the stages when it comes to a mincha. Now the halacha is that the belila, the first two stages, the yitzika and tzeklisharis, and the belila, don't need to be done by a kohen. And in fact, the belila is a question if you actually have to mix it with the oil, or if you just have to pour the oil in. It's a machlokes in menachos. There's one brisa that says that if you don't mix it, the belila is ma'akev. And there's another mission that says that the belila is not ma'akev. So the Gemara wants to address this, and the Gemara quotes from Rav Zeira that as long as it's roi lebila, as long as it can be mixed, so then the belila is not ma'akev. And the case there that the Gemara talks about is that the kli, the largest kli, shares, can hold 60 esronim of flour, in order to be able to also mix the oil with it without the flour going all over the place. Now you should know, 60, there's no carbon that requires 60 esronim. The largest mincha that we have is, everyone knows, it's the one you have to invite all your friends for. What's the largest mincha? The toda. The toda only requires 20 esronim. So what's this case of 60 esronim? It's only if a person takes the nedava that he's going to bring 60 esronim of carbon toda. It's not a normal case. But that's the max. That's when we max out the kli shares, if you put 60 esronim in at the same time. Do you actually have to mix it? No, but it's teaching me that it has to be something that's roi leblila. Now we use this blila and bila. Sometimes the Gemara says bila, sometimes they blila, but it's the same word. Now, where do we use this? We use this all the time. Like for instance, by hafaras nedarim. So the din is that a baal can use the shliach to be mefer the neder of his wife. Now, Gemara asks, what do you mean? It says, v'shama isha, with the mapikei, that the husband heard her say it. How can you have a shliach? So the Gemara says, no, he has to be roi to hear it, meaning he can't be deaf. But as long as he's roi to hear it, then he doesn't actually have to hear it. He can have a shliach. And the Gemara invokes this principle, kol roi lebila, ein abila ma'akevis. And that, l'chora, is the pshat over here in our sugya, that as long as the shofar sound is roi to be heard, so then it already gets the stamp of being a kosher tkiyah sound. And the Gemara brings up the possibility that we would apply that by shofar. Even if you only heard a mixas of the sound, you're yotzei because kol aroi lebila in abila markevas. However, the maskana of the sugya is that you're not yotzei and that you have to hear the entire sound. Lahalacha, this is a very, very important sugya. And there's a machlokas rishonim, will end in literally 2-3 minutes. Just a very important machlokas rishonim and the psak that emerges. Here's the question in our sugya. Our sugya is just paskind, that if you don't hear the whole sound from the beginning to end, you're not yotze. That's it. You can't be yotze with a mixas. You got to hear the whole sound. What's the case talking about here? The Ramban argues that that's the din. If you hear mixas, it doesn't matter. Let's say we had a half that was kosher and a half that wasn't kosher. What if the half that was kosher was 15 seconds long? A full sheer tkiah. Are you still not yotze? The Ramban says that that's how our sugya is, that's pshat in our sugya, and he has diukim in the text. The Ramban says that our sugya, no matter what, how long the kosher sound was, you need to hear it from beginning to end. And therefore, if you didn't hear from beginning to end, if you heard 3 seconds before Alos HaShachar and 20 seconds after Alos HaShachar, you have a full shir tkiya there, it doesn't matter, you're not yotze, because you got to hear from beginning to end. And the Rashba says, what is the Ramban talking about? Come on. Obviously, once you hear a shir tkiah, you're yotze. We're talking about where you heard, let's say the shir tkiah is 6 seconds. You heard 3 seconds before Alos and 3 seconds after Alos. You heard three in the pit and three outside the pit. That's the whole question here. That was, as Dr. Ressler brought up, we're trying to chop the non-coat, the half that wasn't good because it's roy to be good. But if you have in the kosher half, in the half that was good, if you have a full tkiah, why aren't you yotze? And that's what the Rashba writes. The Rashba writes that this sugya is all talking about when you don't have a shir tkiah. But if you have a shir tkiah, of course you're yotze. If you hear 3 seconds before alos and 20 seconds after alos. That's a very important discussion. The Shulchan Aruch brings down both deos, but first he brings the Ramban, and then he brings the Rashba as a yesh omrim. Get the principle down. We have a principle in the Shulchan Aruch. I don't know if you know that there are kloli hora in the Shulchan Aruch. The rule in the Shulchan Aruch is stam v'yesh halacha k'stam. If the Shulchan Aruch brings an opinion and then it says yesh omrim, the halacha is like the stam. And there's that's the mechanism he uses throughout Shulchan Aruch to tell you the dissenting opinion, but also you don't have to write each time the halacha k'dei arishona. Mishabur does that. Mishabur always jumps in halacha k'dei arishona because stam v'yesh halacha k'stam. But that's how we paskin. We paskin like the Ramban, that you need to hear the full sound. And therefore, for instance, if you're in the bathroom and you come into shul and they've already started the tkiah, but you hear the full 6-7 seconds of the shir, but you miss the beginning of the shofar, you're not yotze. You have to hear the full sound. So the Mishnah Berurah actually says you should be very careful to, with coughing and making noise during tkiah shofar, bringing kids into shul that are going to make noise, right? You might say like, okay, I coughed and the people around me couldn't hear it, but it's okay because there was still like 8 or 9 seconds after I coughed of the tekiah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, you might not be yotzei according to the first opinion because you need to hear the full sound from beginning to end. Should you hear the shofar again? The Mishnah Berurah says yes. Should you make a bracha? No. Why? That's why we have the Yesh Omrim in there to tell us that it's a machlokes. And therefore, since it's going to be suffik brachas tahaka, the halacha might be like the Yesh. So you're not going to make a new bracha, but you would need to hear the sound again. And that's something that's very, very important, that you have to make sure that you hear the full sound of the shofar from beginning to end. You should also, though, be aware, and you should familiarize yourself. If we learn the fourth parak, we would have the opportunity to do it together, that not all 100 sounds that you don't have to hear all 100 sounds to be yotzei the mitzvah. We're machmir, we try not to talk from the beginning to the end, but you're yotzei way earlier than those 100 sounds. So when we're talking about, oh, you have to hear the shofar again, you don't have to make a big stink about, someone coughed, and there, oh, you ruined my chiyuv, my kiyum because you coughed. You have to realize that there are other halachos that are going to come into play here as well. All right, everyone have a great day.